Matthew describes how Joseph hears about the news of Jesus and is then told what to do. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, I don't know if you remember that advert from John Lewis back in 2014. Monty the Penguin became a massive hit, and John Lewis sold 48,000 expensively priced Montys, which increased their profit margins by 4.8%. Now, at the end of each John Lewis advert, there's a tagline. And as you saw back in 2014, it was, "Give someone the Christmas they've been dreaming of." And for that little boy, Sam, and his pal, Monty, what more could he have wanted than a little friend for Monty? She's called Mabel, in case you're wondering. And yes, Mabel also sold in her thousands. But if you were allow yourself just a moment to dream about this Christmas, what would you want? I guess for many of us, it will be a stress-free Christmas. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe for others, it's a family reunion that hasn't happened for a while. For some, it may be, "I just want to get away from it all." Lancashire in December doesn't quite cut it, does it? Maybe Barbados would be better instead. The problem is, for many of us, the dream doesn't match the reality. Christmas, actually, for many of us, can be a very difficult time, can't it? Family reunions can be tricky. Perhaps there's a poignant reminder of who is not with us. For many of us, Christmas can be financially stressful. For some of us, we'd say, "I just want it to be over as soon as possible." And then just consider the issues in the world that we're facing. In the news this week, we heard that the NHS is at breaking point again because of the flu outbreak. And Mark Rutte, head of NATO, suggested we're on the verge of a war not seen since our grandparents fought in the Second World War. That's a pretty gloomy prospect, isn't it? What hope is there this Christmas? Well, in the few minutes that we have together this evening, I'd like us to see that Christmas actually is about real hope. And it's nothing to do with John Lewis, and it's far better than any of our wildest dreams. And more importantly, the story of Christmas doesn't ignore the pain in our lives. In fact, it shows us where real hope and joy is to be had, even in the mess. And to help us think, we're going to go back to one of the source documents for the Christmas story, Matthew's Gospel. We had that story read to us. It's on the back of the little service cards. And Matthew was an eyewitness of the life and teaching of Jesus, who is at the center of the Christmas story. And Matthew wrote down his little book as an historical record of who Jesus is and what he's come to do, because Matthew was convinced that the Christmas story is not a story just for children. It's a story for grown-ups as well, grown-ups who find life dark and messy and hopeless. The Christmas story shows us where real hope and life and joy is to be found. And what we're doing this hour of our lives is not retreating from reality. We might think that. We're not at all. No, we're coming to see what reality is really all about as we meet the God of the Bible. There's a God who rules the world, who loves us, and is willing to do something about the mess of our world. So let's have a look at Matthew's story. It begins with a young man called Joseph, whose fiancée has discovered she's pregnant, and not by him. And that is pretty messy, isn't it? But we see that through this baby, God has two amazing pieces of news for us tonight. This is the Christmas story in a nutshell. God has come to us. We can come to God. Let's have a look at those two things. First, God has come to us. And that is the heart of this story that Matthew is telling us all about. So Matthew 1 is all about how Joseph hears the news that Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Now, in ancient Jewish law, when a couple got engaged, it was a legally binding agreement. The couple wouldn't move in together, they wouldn't sleep together, but they would be thought of as a married couple. And in order to break off the engagement, you had to get a divorce in law. And one of the reasons why you might do that is if you thought your fiancé was having an affair. That is precisely what Joseph thought when he found out Mary was having a baby. So we read in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, we know from one of the other Bible readings we had read this evening that an angel had told Mary she'd be pregnant with Jesus by a miraculous work of God. There was something amazing about this baby that Mary knew about at this stage and only her. So you can forgive Joseph for being just a little bit skeptical, can't you? I mean, it is a bit far-fetched. If your fiancée came up to you and said she was pregnant by divine miracle, would you believe her? Joseph was no gullible first century peasant. Contrary to what we might think, an angel appearing to Mary was an extremely extraordinary event. It was as strange to Joseph as it is to us. So the logical explanation is she's got to be having an affair. She's got to be sleeping around. She slept with someone else. And that's very hard, isn't it, for Joseph? His childhood sweetheart has betrayed him. And he is not going to be taken in by story of an angel saying, oh, it's all a bit divine. No, he can't believe it. But notice he is kind, isn't he? He's righteous, says Mary, says Matthew. So he says, I'll divorce you quietly, and I'm not going to shame you. How kind he is at this point. But it is at that point that God steps in. Verse 20, after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. So now Joseph has his own interaction with an angel and everything is explained. This child really is extraordinary. Something amazing is happening here. And what is it? Well, it's explained in the name that Matthew points us to in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this baby, this child, is called Emmanuel because he is literally God with us. The angel is giving Joseph and us a massive clue as to the identity of this child. He's no ordinary baby. He is God himself come to earth as a man, taken on human flesh. That was why some strange things were happening. If God comes to earth as a man, no surprise, there are a few angels around to tell the story. This is a one-off event. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, if you read on in Matthew's Gospel, and I'd encourage you to do this, we discover that there are all sorts of extraordinary things that Jesus does, which helps us to see he really is God in the flesh. So he raises people from the dead. He cures people with significant diseases with one word. He shows authority over evil by banishing demons and commanding them to leave possessed people. Now, all of these things were witnessed to by friends and enemies alike. No one could deny it. And these are all things that only God can do. Jesus is God in the flesh. And the coming of God into the world as that little baby to grow up to be a man is a sign that God cares for this world. Because the God of the Bible not only made the world, but he loves it deeply. He loves me and you deeply. It's not as if God just sits on high giving instructions and then leaves us to it. No, he actually comes into our world, the world that we've messed up, and he's come to do something about it. Christmas is about God coming to us. But that's not all, because if Christmas was just about God coming to us, then we could take it or leave it, couldn't we? We don't have to be friends with God. We could just leave him out of our lives. We could move on, leave Jesus in the crib, sing the carols, enjoy the festivities, but it doesn't mean anything. But the angel says something else about this baby, which shows us why every single person in the world needs to understand who Jesus is. Because Christmas is the hope that we need for a hopeless world. It's light for a very dark world. So the second thing Joseph learned is that Christmas is about us being able to come to God. That is, it's all about forgiveness from God. And we see that in another name that the angel gives the baby Jesus. The other name comes in verse 21. Mary, says the angel, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's the name Jesus that means God saves. And the big question is, well, what does Jesus save us from? And the answer is the consequences of our messed up lives and world. You really don't need to be a rocket scientist to work out that the world is in a mess. See, for all the advances in technology and scientific discovery, we're actually no closer to the utopia that was promised by others generations before. But if truth be told, the world out there and all the mess actually is in my heart as well. And dare I say it, yours too. We're not able to do the good we would love to do. And we let ourselves down and others down, sometimes catastrophically. And the default setting, says the Bible, is that we've ignored our Creator, the ruler of this world, and sought to live life our way. And here's the thing about doing that. If I live my life your way, my way, and you live your life your way, there's bound to be a clash, isn't there? That is why the world is in such a mess. And it's what the Bible calls sin. Sin, incidentally, isn't eating extra mince pie when you're not supposed to. It's much more serious than that. It is about living without reference to the God who lovingly made us to enjoy him, leaving him out the picture. And the problem with that is that God cannot let us go. He gives us every breath we breathe. He loves us so much. But he's also a God of justice. And he holds us to account. On Monday, we had the police carol service, which we do every year for the Lancashire Constabulary. And every man and woman in that carol service believes in justice. Because justice is a good thing, isn't it? But the problem is, when justice comes to us, and we don't like that, and we find that very difficult, and giving account to God for our lives actually is a very difficult thing to do because we know we've mucked it up. But that is why Christmas is so, so good. Because this little baby came into the world. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And he grew up to die on a cross, dying in our place and bearing the the guilt and punishment that we deserve so that we can be forgiven. You see, the crib leads to the cross. And the whole point of Jesus' coming was not just to show us how to live, that's a good thing, it was to die in our place so that we could be forgiven. That is why Christmas is the best news in the world, because the God who loves us so much and who made us is willing to clean up the mess in our hearts so that we can know him personally and enjoy him forever. 2025 marked 80 years since the end of the Second World War, and a few weeks ago my brother made an amazing discovery about my grandfather and his actions in World War II. We knew that my granddad served in World War II, and he hardly ever talked about it, well, for good reason. But his military records were made public. And one of the things my brother discovered was that during the summer of 1945, as the war was ending, my granddad was in Denmark helping with the clear-up operation. And apparently one time, while he was in Copenhagen, some German troops came up to him as a large group and just surrendered to him. And they gave him all their weapons and also a very nice German trench coat as a peace offering. And my granddad wore that trench coat all the way back to the UK, and it's now sitting in my uncle's wardrobe. But it's a remarkable story because it illustrates how sworn enemies can get to a point where they are no longer at war because the peace deal had been reached. The war was over. Weapons were given up. And in a far greater way, that is what Jesus came to offer, a peace deal. But with Jesus, it cost him everything. It cost him the pain of being born into our broken world and dying on a cross in our place. And what life is about is knowing the God who made us and who died for us in Jesus. We can come to God because he first came to us. I wonder if you've ever really grasped how much God loves you and how much he's done for you. I'd love you to enjoy your Christmas this year. I'd love you even more to consider your Saviour this year and to realise that Jesus came into the world for you, to die for you and offer you peace with God. And maybe that's something you've never seriously considered. Maybe you've experienced 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 Christmases, even more, and you've never considered that. Why not this Christmas time consider for the first time, perhaps, what it's all about? At the back, we have some booklets, these red little booklets, which explain a bit more about what I've just been saying very briefly tonight. You'd be very welcome to take those. They're free. Please do take one and have a read. And there are also copies of Matthew's Gospel at the back, if you'd like to read on in the story. God came down to you, and now he is offering you to come to him. That is what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for the wonderful news of that first Christmas when in Jesus you came down to us so that we could come to you. And I pray that each one of us here gives serious thought to the good news of Christmas and comes to you for forgiveness, love, and peace. Amen.